Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome. This is your bonus Q&A episode of Books of the Year. Matt is here, still in his shirt.
I am indeed, still wearing a shirt.
Normally he's not. He's not usually the smart Victoria. I think he's. Yes. I think he's dressed.
Is he normally in a little. String vest.
normally I'd be wearing my AC/DC top. So the next time we get you on, I promise I will.
Is it in the wash? Yes. I'm glad for my sake.
He's dressed up for you. That's what I think.
Such a rather cool shirt.
Anyway, enough praise.
Very happy with that.
Question number one, Victoria. What is the last book that you really, really enjoyed reading?
Gosh.
Not just a kind of, it was pretty good.
No, the last book I really enjoyed was actually the last book, and it's by Claire Keegan. And it's actually the first novel of hers that I've read. And she's written several that have won many prizes, but I'd sort of resisted her for some reason. But there on the counter by the till is a tiny, beautiful little hardback called So Late in the Day by Claire Keegan. And I picked this little thing up because I couldn't resist. I mean, I do actually rather like small books because I know I can sit down in one sitting, this is over a cup of coffee, and read it from cover to cover. And I really felt like doing that last week. So Late in the Day is a perfect, it's a novelette. It's almost shorter than a lot of short stories.
That's like an essay, really.
But it is beautiful. It's just an exquisite, memorable, faultless little book. And I think everyone who reads it will never forget it. And it's quite melancholy. You know, actually, I'll tell you why I read it. Was because I just read a very, very big book, which was Lessons by Ian McEwan, which was the complete opposite, in a sense, because of its length. Great big. I mean, even longer than my latest
novel. So the Claire Keegan would go very well as a double purchase with yours.
Yes, it would. Absolutely. If you want to have something...
You could buy the till in Waterstones.
Yes, I would definitely... But I'd read Lessons by Ian McEwan, which I absolutely loved. And after a good book by Ian McEwan, I usually struggle for a week or two to read anything, because I don't want to clear my mind at all from this work that I've just finished. So the Claire Keegan was an ideal pick me up.
When you're writing a book, Victoria, how many books would you tend to get out of the library when you're doing your research?
Goodness. Probably 100.
100?
Yes.
For one book, you will get 100 books of...
Yeah, I mean, not all at once, but I go to the London Library. So I sit there and read them. I don't take them out. And the London Library is a treasure trove.
Wow.
And one book leads to another that leads to another. And when you're reading non-fiction and you look in the bibliography at the back, then you're always taken on a journey. It's like a tree. You know, you start with the trunk and then you branch, and then each branch branches out. So the beauty of sitting there in the London Library is that you can just have a pile on your desk and you don't have to lug them home. You can just go in there day after day. And some of them you might find actually they don't contain anything. You're dipping in. So I'm not reading 100 books cover to cover. Some of them yes, some of them no. And then if I really believe in their sort of great value as a sort of spine of this book that I'm writing, then I will buy them. So I do buy a lot of books as well. And each book that I've written has a whole kind of collection in my own library that I feel, you know, I want to keep for myself and reread. So that's a very exciting part of writing a book for me is the research bit that takes usually 2 years.
Wow.
It's hugely enjoyable. I'm never in a massive hurry to start writing until I really feel that I know my subject. And my kids used to say, "Mum, are you actually doing a PhD or are you writing another novel?" And that was actually particularly true of The Return, which was my book about the Spanish Civil War, because that has literally thousands of books written on and around the subject. But latterly, usually about 100, I will definitely dip in.
It might be that you've already answered this question, but apart from Greece, do you have a favourite place to write about?
Oh, gosh, not... Well, I can't write about the UK. The figurine actually
Why
does...
Why can't you write about the UK?
Because I don't think I'm very good at writing British characters. And even in this latest novel, which has quite a lot set in Britain, you know, I've written about a Scottish... The dad is Scottish, but the mum is Greek. And then there's sort of the odd villain who's English. But I think they... I'm worried about them being stereotypes, which is an odd thing to say, but I find the people quite difficult to write about unless they're Greek, so, which is why I tend to stick in Greece now. I mean, I did write about Spain, but from now onwards, I don't think I'll be moving elsewhere unless I have a blinding flash of inspiration on my way to St Pancras today.
I mean, you've talked about reading in the British Library, but can you read anywhere?
In the London Library. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So, can you read anywhere? Perhaps reading for pleasure rather than for research. Can you read anywhere? Do you have a favourite place where you go to read?
Yes, I do. Actually, my favourite place is usually curled up in bed. I mean, I do like to read in bed because it's a sort of sanctuary, and late in the evening when the phone isn't... Well, not that the phone does ring anymore, does it? That's something of the past. People ask you by text, when can I call you? So, you know, the evenings and bedtime has become, you know, a quiet...
I read three pages and fall asleep.
Oh, do you? Yeah. Perhaps you should go to bed earlier, before you're tired.
I think I'd still fall asleep. If you hadn't become a writer, what profession might you be doing now?
Gosh, what would I be doing? My fantasy job was always being a tennis player, but I think even that I would have given up by now, wouldn't I?
You could have been a wow on the seniors tour.
Yeah, that's true. On the senior, the veterans even begin at 40. So on the creaky old pensioners tour. What would I be doing? I think I would be... Maybe I'd be a language... teacher. I think I'd have given up working if I wasn't writing, to be honest. And I think I'd be learning languages because that is my great passion, is learning languages. And apparently it really does keep away, you know, all sorts of things that happen to your mind as you get older. So I'd be doing something with languages. Okay. But I don't think it would involve working as such. I think I'd like to be really enjoying not, you know, having the pressure of work anymore.
Headphones on with a Duolingo course, speaking out loud, and everyone goes, "What's that?"
I know, it's very annoying, isn't it? But no, I think I'm 65 next year, and I remember when I was a child and my grandmother lived with us and she was 60 years old, you know, she was an old lady, you know, pottering about, knitting and sort of enjoying her leisure, and I think that's something that I need to learn how to do a bit more.
Do you have a favourite author that you've met, or perhaps even
that I've met?
Yes.
Gosh, well, I have met Ian McEwan. I'm sure he doesn't remember it, but I certainly do, and he is my favourite author.
I thought you were going to say Ian Hislop at that.
He's absolutely, he's taken an oath that he will never write a novel.
Quite right, too.
So he can't be a novelist because he's written plays and scripts and all sorts of other stuff that's fictional. Ian McEwan, to me, is just faultless. I love every one of his books. I never know what a book of his is going to be about. It's always a surprise. It's always brilliant. His sentence structures are exemplary. I think he's a great example of somebody who writes to the length that he needs to write. Nutshell. What was that? 150 pages? And then Lessons, 500, maybe 600. And they are spare, you know, even then he writes sparingly. He's totally unpretentious. I know he researches in a very, very deep way, whatever he's writing. He'll become a brain surgeon if he's writing about a brain surgeon. He'll become a concert, you know, in his mind, a concert pianist if he's writing about a concert pianist. I mean, he to me is just the best. And I'm always annoyed when I've just finished because I've got to wait for the next hardback to come out. So I hope the next one of his is a short one.
You need to put your headphones on because we have we have got.
What have you got?
We've got a little audio note, a voice note from fellow author Lissa Evans.
Hello, Simon. Hello, Matt. And hello, Victoria. It's Lissa Evans here, your pal from the library. And as you know, I love your books and I have a question for you. Which Greek island would you set a murder mystery on?
I'd push someone into the volcano in Santorini. That would be fun.
Yeah, because it could, you know, any time there could be another earthquake, you know, a sort of gap could open up. I think I would set a murder mystery on an idyllic holiday island, namely on Skiathos, which is where the first Mamma Mia film was set, which is everybody's idea of the perfect. And of course now we associate it with, you know, all those jolly ABBA songs, and there's nothing I like to do more than take somebody's kind of idyllic place and say, actually,
spoil it,
something really nasty has happened here. So that's probably, I think I would put that on Skiathos.
Okay. Finally from me, do you always finish a book? Do you always decide, no, I've got this far, I'm going to carry on all the
way? You mean writing or reading?
No, as in reading.
Reading
a book.
Absolutely not.
Good for you.
Absolutely not. I'm ruthless. I have a 50-page... Well, actually, sometimes... Depends on the length of the book.
Uh-huh.
If it's a very short book, let's say 150 pages, I will probably read 50 pages... And even then, and I've just done that, and in fact I was so angry about this book that I bought in hardback, that it went into the bag for Oxfam.
What book was that?
Funny enough, it was called Greek Lessons.
Oh, okay.
By an author who's internationally acclaimed. It was translated. She wrote a book called The Vegetarian, which I did enjoy. So I thought, I will actually buy her in hardback, buy another, and it was just depressing beyond belief. No, I'm ruthless. Life is too short.
If you'd bought the Claire Keegan book and didn't like that, you'd give it up after a paragraph.
I just knew from the back cover that I would love it.
Right.
So, no, I think there are limits. But, no, and I say that to everybody who asks me that question. Life is too short. For every book that you are reading now, you're not reading another book. And there's a huge queue of books, isn't there, always waiting to be read. So no, if you're not enjoying it, I'd say the same about books that I write. If a reader actually have offered this, if I've ever seen somebody picking up a book of mine in a bookshop, which is weird but does happen, I'll say, I hope you enjoy it. If you don't, I'll give you your money back.
Wow.
And I mean it. You know, I hate the idea that somebody wastes money on a book and doesn't get to the end of it.
Finally, having appeared on the Greek version of Strictly.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favourite dance style?
Very much Latin.
Are you watching Strictly, by the way?
I am indeed.
I'm not.
Are you not?
No, I suspect I
well,
either.
Nope.
I admire them. I know what they're going through. And I actually had the huge pleasure last week because I went to a recording of Have I Got News and Bill Bailey was in the chair and I was so... I just went up and gave him an enormous hug.
Because he won.
Yeah.
And he was phenomenal. I mean, I lasted for 10 weeks, so I did pretty well. Yeah. But Latin, to me, is what dancing is all about. It's about salsa, it's about rumba, it's about the freedom of the body. And I really just detest ballroom, waltzing. I will not waltz for Matilda. I hated it.
Did your children who don't want you to write love scenes, did they complain about your Latin dancing?
No, they were... It's the only time I've ever had any real praise from my children. You know, they're not impressed by me in any other way, but being turned 360 degrees in a salsa and flashing my pants, admittedly,
my word,
to the Greek audience, they thought that was absolutely cool.
Victoria Hislop, thank you very much indeed for joining us. The Figurine is published by Headline and is out now. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, you can email booksoftheyear@yahoo.com or go via our socials. Be back next week with international bestseller Terry Hayes, whose book is even bigger than Victoria's.
Huge.
Hope you can join us then. Thank you for listening.